You can just call me Jim Sullivan. We're glad that you are here, and I know that you are glad to not be outside right now. Doesn't sound too good out there. I was telling somebody a while ago, I've got a weird television. When the hurricane was here, the thing never went off. Never. And today, it's sunshiny, it's beautiful, no rain, no wind, and it goes off. I don't get it. Just don't get it. But we are glad you're here tonight and hope the lesson will be of some benefit to you. The Holy Spirit. It is mentioned hundreds upon hundreds of times in both the Old and the New Testaments. And yet, there is much ignorance that exists today with regard to the Holy Spirit. There is much fear that exists in the minds of many when it comes to understanding the Holy Spirit. And my friends, I believe that the Holy Spirit and all the things that are connected with it is one of the most controversial of all the subjects found in the pages of God's holy and divine Word. There is hardly an aspect, hardly an element that you deal with regard to the Holy Spirit, wherein there is not some controversy found therein. If an individual is going to study the Holy Spirit, the best place to start is by coming to an understanding of who He is. So folks, this lesson tonight is about as basic and about as general as you can get when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Now, remember I said there is much controversy with regard to the Holy Spirit. There is controversy right here with regard to the Holy Spirit. There are some individuals who believe that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than an impersonal it. I-T. And it. There are other individuals who believe that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than an energy, a force. The other day I went online and I typed in watchtower.org, the official site of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And then I typed in Holy Spirit, and an article came up. And I want you to listen to what they have to say about the Holy Spirit. The Bible's use of Holy Spirit indicates that it is a controlled force that Jehovah God uses to accomplish a variety of His purposes. To a certain extent, it, did you notice that? It can be likened to electricity. A force that can be adopted to perform a great variety of operations. No, the Holy Spirit is not a person, and it is not part of a Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God's active force that He uses to accomplish His will. It is not equal to God, but is always at His disposition and subordinate to Him. There's one of the views with regard to the Holy Spirit. An active force, and it, not a person. But that leads to the third view. The third view of the Holy Spirit is that He is a person. He is a real being, just like God the Father, just like God the Son. There is God the Holy Spirit. He is the third being of the Godhead. My friends, it is the third view that we believe. And yet again, it is one thing to assert such a point, and it is another thing to do what? To prove it, isn't it? So hopefully tonight, when we leave, we will have proved that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a being. And again, this is a foundational lesson. If you don't get this lesson, then it is useless to study other things connected to the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a problem, and that's the first point of our lesson, a problem. Most of the time, when you and I talk about a person, that person has a body, doesn't he? So the very minute that I say the Holy Spirit is a person, you start scratching your head. Because you know that the Holy Spirit does not have a what? A body. So how in the world can the Holy Spirit be a person? See, we've got a misunderstanding. Our outward frames, our flesh, our bones, our blood, and all of our organs are not our personality. They are the medium through which our personality is displayed, but they are not our personality. My friends, the person is not the outward building. The person is the tenant who resides therein, isn't it? H. Leo Bowles has a book entitled The Holy Spirit. I would advise that you get it and study it. Excellent book. He says that a person is defined by three different points. Number one, a person is conscious of himself. That makes sense, right? I know that I am a what? A person. Good person, bad person, that depends on who you talk to. But you see, I'm very conscious of what? I'm very conscious of myself. So that's one element of a person. A second element of a person is this. He consists of identity. So in other words, you can see me walking down the street and you can say, look at there, there's Victor. I have a what? An identity. I'm conscious of myself and I have an identity. Other individuals can identify me. And then there's the third element of being a person. We have intuitive rationalization and a free will. An intuitive ability to rationalize and a free will. Now, if something has all three of those elements, then guess what it is? It is a person. It is a being. Whether or not it has a what? A body. It's still a person. Now here's the point that we need to look at. Personality really involves three things, folks. Number one, it involves heart. Number two, it involves mind. And number three, it involves will. Now the question that we have to ask is this. Does the Holy Spirit have those three things? Heart, mind, and will. And the answer to that question is yes. When we talk about heart, what are we talking about? We're talking about the seat of affection, the seat of emotions. Now, the reality is when you go to study these three areas in the Scripture, they all interlock and they all interrelate one to another. But when you talk about heart, you're talking about affection, emotions. Does the Holy Spirit have the ability to express affection? Yes, Romans 15:30. I beseech you, brethren, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and, listen to this, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul makes mention of what? The love of the Spirit. Is love an emotion? Is love an affection? Absolutely. And the Spirit has the ability to express His love. So He has heart, doesn't He? Does the Holy Spirit have a mind? The Bible plainly says that He does. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. Romans 8:27. The Bible plainly says that the Spirit has a what? Has a mind. And if you have a mind, guess what? You can know some things, don't you? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Folks, the Spirit of God knows the what? The mind of God. He has the ability to think. He has the ability to reason. He has the ability to make choices and decisions with that brain. And that leads us to the third thing, the will. What is the will? The will of man is nothing more than that which is expressed by means of our thoughts, isn't it? We think something, we want to do something, and then we do it. That's our will, isn't it? Does the Holy Spirit have a will? Can He make choices? Can He make determinations? Absolutely. Write down this passage. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. The Apostle Paul is in a discussion about spiritual gifts. And he says, "These things, these spiritual gifts, worketh one and the selfsame Spirit." Now listen to what he says. "Dividing to each man severally according to his will." Folks, in the first century church, not everybody had the same spiritual gifts. In Corinth, there were at least 9 spiritual gifts in that church. Everybody didn't have all 9 spiritual gifts. When the apostles came, laid their hands on those individuals, bestowed those miraculous gifts upon them, guess who decided who got what? It wasn't the apostle. It was the Holy Spirit Himself. Dividing to each man severally as he will. If you got the ability to speak in tongues, it was because the Holy Spirit gave you that ability. That was His choice for you. If you had the ability to perform miracles, it was because the Holy Spirit enabled you to do that. He says, "I'm going to give you the ability to perform miracles." If you had the ability to interpret in tongues, it was because the Holy Spirit made that decision and gave you that ability. You see, He willed that. Now here's the question. Does that sound like an impersonal force to you? Something that has a brain and can think and reason? Something that can love? Something that can make decisions for itself? Folks, that doesn't sound like any electricity I've ever seen. Does it you? Those three things alone prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit is a being, a person. We could shut this lesson down and go home. And you look at it and you say, "Boy, we get out here early tonight. Get to watch the Olympics. Folks, that ain't happening. You need more stuff than that in your arsenal. Even though you can go home, we don't want to shortchange Jean. She's only able to come one time right now. She got to get all she needs right now." I'm blaming it on you, Jean. They're going, "Man, Jean, you need to start coming more, darling." I'm just kidding with Jean. She has a reason to be home. There's 2 other points that we want to make. These 2 other points prove also that the Holy Spirit is a person. Folks, when you go into the Bible, you can see how the Holy Spirit acts. You can see the things that He does. And when you look at the things that the Holy Spirit does, you cannot but help leaving knowing that He is a being, a real person, and not just some impersonal it, and not just some force that's out there like electricity. Herbert Lockyer, in his book on the Holy Spirit, the title of it is All About the Holy Spirit. He says that there are over 160 verses in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that show the Holy Spirit's actions. Folks, that's a lot of verses, isn't it? We're going to be here a long time. No, I can't memorize that much stuff. There is no way. We are going to talk about a few of the things that he does. Number one, he commands. Write down this passage, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. When you go into the book of Acts and you follow the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, there were some times Paul wanted to go somewhere, and guess what? He could not. And guess why? The Holy Spirit forbade him. The Holy Spirit would not allow him to go. No, you are not going to that place. You see, the Holy Spirit has the ability to what? To command. Number two, he has the ability to guide. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16, verse 13. He has the ability to guide individuals into all truth. Number three, he has the ability to intercede on behalf of man. Acts 8, or Romans 8, verse 26. There are some times you and I have groanings within our heart. We don't really know how to express those groanings unto God. And guess who intercedes on our behalf? The Bible says that it is the Holy Spirit of God who does that. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can invite? There's another action that he performs. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the bride and the Spirit say, come." My friends, the Holy Spirit is constantly offering the invitation to mankind to come to God Almighty. The Holy Spirit invites. Number five, the Holy Spirit can lead. For as many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, verse 14. The Holy Spirit can quicken. The Holy Spirit can make alive, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It is the Spirit of God, the Bible says, that reveals things unto mankind. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says that it is the Spirit that searches out the mind of the Almighty God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. It is the Spirit that has the ability to speak. When Paul was writing in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith." I find it interesting that individuals wonder how inspiration occurred. And I believe that inspiration was a very simple process. The Holy Spirit spoke directly into the ears of those individuals, and they heard every word that was spoken by the Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, the text says. I hear Him. The Holy Spirit can strive with mankind. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. My Spirit shall not always strive with man, but the days of his years shall be 120 years. The Spirit can strive with us in this world. The Bible says also that it is the Holy Spirit that can teach. But when the Holy Spirit is come, whom ye shall receive from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which shall proceed from the Father, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14, verse 26. The Bible says also that it is the Holy Spirit that testifies. John 15, verse 26. How much more do you need, folks? We've given you a list of 12 things that the Holy Spirit does. 12 actions that the Holy Spirit is involved in. Go back and look at the list. Do those things sound like a person, or do they just sound like a force? Sound like a person to me. They lead me. He guides me. He intercedes for me. He speaks. He strives with me. He searches the mind of God. On and on the list goes. Every one of those sound like something that a person can do. So his actions prove that he's a person. Now let's look at the third point. There's others that we could talk about, but these are the only three we're going to give you. The third point is that when you look into the Bible, you will find that there are certain things that you and I can do against the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says that there are at least seven different things that you and I can do against the Holy Spirit. Ready for these? Number one, you and I can vex the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Isaiah 63 verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. To vex means to disturb, to cause one to be troubled inside. When you and I rebel against the Word of God, you and I trouble the Holy Spirit. That's what that text means. So we can vex Him. Number two, you and I can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 12, 31 and 32. There's been a lot of people say, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? We'll talk about that some other time. Guys, did you know if you're really going to study the Holy Spirit, you need about 40 lessons to do it? 40 lessons to get through it all. And then you've only touched the hem of the garment, flying through it just like I'm doing right now. That's a lot of lessons, isn't it? That you and I can blaspheme. What does that mean? You and I can speak against the Holy Spirit of God. Because that's what that word literally means. To speak against the Holy Spirit. Number three, you and I can lie to the Holy Spirit. Remember what Peter said to Ananias? Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? Acts chapter 5 verse 3. So we can lie to the Holy Spirit. Number four, you and I can resist the Holy Spirit. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Now remember, they're sitting there at the feet of Stephen. Stephen is the preacher on this particular occasion. He's preaching the Word of God, and as he preaches the Word of God, he tells these individuals, you're not resisting me, you're resisting who? The Holy Spirit Himself. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was speaking through whom? Was speaking through Stephen. And when they resisted his message, they were resisting the message of the Holy Spirit. My friends, when you and I turn our minds against the Word of God, we are resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? You may think you're standing up in rebellion against the elders, or you're standing up in rebellion against the preacher. I don't care what he says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go ahead. The one you're really rebelling against is who? The Holy Spirit of God. Write down Ephesians 4 verse 30. For that passage says that you and I can grieve the Holy Spirit. You like anybody to grieve? You like anybody to hurt deep within their heart? Do you like them to have remorse and sadness and sorrow? Do you like to be responsible for that? You and I can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can make his heart turn to sadness because of the things that we do and not following his teachings and his leadings found in the Word of the living God. Write down 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19, for the Bible there says, quench not the Spirit. You see, you and I can quench the Spirit. And then there's the last passage that is found on the pages of God's Word, my friends. You and I have the ability to despise the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing. Now listen, and done despite under the Spirit of grace. Go back and look at that passage. He talks about those under the old covenant, the Old Testament, who died without mercy. at the hands of two or three witnesses. And then he says, of how much sorer punishment. My friends, the Old Testament was a glorious testament, but it does not nearly hold the glory of the New Testament. The Old Testament was an authoritative testament, was it not? It was a law from God, but this one is even more authoritative. And if individuals died under the old covenant, what do you think is going to happen to those who rebel against the new covenant? They do three things to that covenant. They trodden underfoot the Son of God. They count the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified an unholy thing, because the blood sanctified the covenant, folks. And they do despite under the Spirit of grace. Why? Because they snub their noses at what the Spirit of grace has revealed. That's why. Listen to this statement. If the Spirit of God is simply an influence, there is no need to concern ourselves about man's treatment of him. For influence is incapable of recognition, feeling, or action. Folks, if the Holy Spirit is just an impersonal force, who cares about all those things? Who cares if I grieve the Spirit? Doesn't hurt him. There's been some times that I get mad at the electricity at the house, especially when it goes out. And it did twice this last week. But I just wonder, when I got mad at that electricity, did it hurt its feelings? I don't think so. An impersonal force, you can't hurt his feelings. I can speak against it. I can blaspheme against it all I want to. And he isn't going to cry. He isn't going to bother about it one iota. If you and I can't grieve the Spirit, resist the Spirit, hurt the Spirit, if it's just an impersonal force, why even talk about it, right? The reality is he's a what? He's a being. He's a person. He's just as real as God the Father and God the Son. Just as real. Now listen to this statement. This comes from a man named Dr. Jewett. Our fellowship is not with a something, but with a somebody. Not with a force, but with a spirit. Not with an it, but with a him. When I read that, I said, that's good stuff. Isn't it? My friends, if the Holy Spirit of God is a real being, then He is due our admiration and our faith. If the Holy Spirit is a real being, He is due my surrender and my submission. And the way I do that is by surrendering to what He's revealed in the pages of this book. Have you submitted to the teachings of the Spirit? We beg with you to do it tonight. Don't leave this place in rebellion against God. Can you imagine when an individual knows what he needs to do to be a Christian and he turns his nose up at that and walks out of this building and refuses to do it? Folks, that impacts me. And I'm not even the one who originated this plan. Can you imagine how it impacts God and the Holy Spirit who revealed this to us? They don't want what I've got to offer. My, how it's got to grieve Him at His heart. I wonder how He feels when the people of God who claim to be led by the Spirit of God snub their noses at what He has to say. I wonder if that grieves His heart. My friend, do you need to obey the gospel? Do so tonight. If you believe, repent of sins, confess His precious name, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. If you're an erring Christian and you need to repent, won't you do that tonight? Confess those sins. Ask Him to forgive you. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all iniquity. Won't you come as we stand and sing?